Hello, guys. Welcome to another wonderful episode of The Nacho Show. This is Ignacio Valdez here from Ogden, Utah. And today we're going to talk about a very interesting topic. In the last episode, we spoke more about grammar requests and government documents being sold. It is our responsibility as United States citizens to go ahead and request those documents to be viewed by us, the citizens. But why does the government want to sell you those documents? And also, today we're going to talk about, we have some fantastic guests today that we will go ahead and talk more about this. And we will see, why does the left want us to vote by mail? Why do they really want to do that? This and more here at The Nacho Show. All right. Well, welcome here to season number four. Of the Nacho Show, and it will be actually a year since this show was started. Actually, by the end of July, that will be 1 year, and I guess we have to do a celebration, right, ladies?
Yes. Absolutely.
And I just want to introduce you guys, ladies and gentlemen. We have here with us here at the Nacho Show the two red pills, Jen and Sophie. How are you guys?
We're great. Thanks for having us.
Excellent. Absolutely. Well, it is definitely fantastic to have you guys here. And when we were off camera, I was just so astonished by those nice shirts. You guys have a great imagination. And another thing that I was going to say, you know, I looked at your work and everything that you guys have been doing. And I congratulate you, and I salute you for everything that you guys have been doing, and all of the research, all of the work behind this, you know, your videos, your website, and I think the information that you guys bring to the table is fantastic and is very useful. So kudos to you.
Thank you. And we just want to thank the people behind the scenes that are helping us with the websites and all this other stuff. There's no way we could do all of this on our own. So we just we really appreciate the people who are supportive. There's a lot of them, and we're grateful.
For sure.
Excellent. All right. Well, let's just go ahead and introduce yourself. You guys are the two red pills. So why did you come up with the two red pills? I probably have an idea, but how did you come up with that?
You probably don't really this is actually kind of funny. When I went on Telegram, it was the only social media I have ever had in my life. Oh. And I was like, I didn't know what to call it. And I was like, oh, I don't know what to do for a handle. I didn't want my real name. I've been very private with that stuff. Uh-huh. And so I was like, oh, how about one red pill? And it was taken. So I was like, well, how about two red pills? So for 6 months, two red pills was actually just my name on social media. And then we had an interview one time, Sophie and I, with, I believe it was True Ott. It was a fascinating interview. And at the very end, he goes, I think that's the coolest thing that you call yourselves, two red pills. And so I looked at Sophie and I said, do you want to be a part of my identity? Like, that makes way more sense than what happened before. But that's, no one's ever asked us that story, but that's actually how it came about. Yes.
Yeah, that is fantastic. Yeah, it worked out fantastically. Yeah. So who is Jen and who is Sophie?
This is Jen, and I'm Jen. Sophie.
Okay, awesome. And you guys are here in the state of Utah, right?
Yes.
Okay. I live in the Salt Lake Valley, and so does Sophie.
Nice, fantastic. Okay, well, so you guys gathered together, you know, your thoughts and everything like that, and started this wonderful team here within the state to do research. Is that what I understand from your movement?
You know, we're both mothers. We each have four children, and when the scamdemic started, and the there scandemic. was, Sorry, I cannot refer to it in any other way.
It's true. It's true.
Yes. When that began and our children were being, you know, these tyrannical mandates were being handed down from our elected officials, Jen and I refer to those as selected officials because what we know about our elections, they're not elected, they're selected. But anyway, you know, as moms, you wake up in the morning during the scamdemic and you were forced to muzzle your child so they could enter their public school. Well, you do that long enough and you enforce things that are not constitutionally correct. You do that long enough to mothers and you're going to have a response. Yeah. And so Jen and I met and then, and that's a really fun story, but I don't know how much time we have.
Sure.
So we'll just go into it. Cause, so then the Salt Lake County mask mandate for children, they were going to extend it and it felt like they were going to extend it into eternity.
And we had gotten tipped off by somebody that they were getting ready to do this mask mandate. I guess the plan was originally they were going to surprise people with it. And thank goodness for this courageous person who reached out and said, "Hey, you know, I know you guys are active and stuff. Heads up on this day, this looks like it might be coming through the pipeline." And so anyway, that gave us the ability to plan an effective way to help roll that out.
Yes. We immediately developed a strategy to be able to show up to the council meetings. And at the end of the day, they voted to rescind the mask mandate and not extend it. And so that was a huge, huge victory. But and so grateful for that.
And really quick, her name is Sophie, not Steph.
Oh, sorry.
And just so then Jen and I, you know, we all were, most of us, we stayed up November 3rd, 2020. When I went to bed, I was certain I would wake up the next morning and Donald Trump would be our president. And it was just, it was so disgusting and alarming to me, and I'm sure many, what happened that night and the days to follow. Well, as Jen and I decided that things just weren't quite being done in the state of Utah the way they needed to be done to attack election integrity and make sure our vote counted, we began doing these public records requests for everything regarding our elections.
And Sophie had been doing those since
2018.
So this was something she, you know, she had done before to be very effective in fighting something in Salt Lake County. So when I came on board, I was a researcher. I'm an author. You can tell from the books, you know, behind me, like I love information. So when she said, "Hey, Jen, you know, we really need to start looking at this stuff from public records," I'm like, "Count me in, show me what to do." And then the rest is history, I think.
Yes.
Wow. This is definitely fantastic. You know, we all felt, you know, especially, I don't know, myself, I felt very disappointed at our system, and I felt very disappointed at you know, how the U.S. is always very looked upon. Other countries look up to the U.S. You know, a first world country, and you know, everything works really well here, and everything is fantastic. However, it just makes me very upset, very mad beyond belief. The fact that we do have people here in America that really want to bring this country down. We do have people in office that are not just from the Democratic Party, also within the lines of the Republican Party, that side up with the Chinese government, aka Cox. Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah, that's us. And I join, I joined to your movement, you know, of the Rhino Hunters. And, you know, I'm an immigrant. I'm a Mexican immigrant. I came here in 2003 and I did everything legal. I did everything, you know, through the lines of immigration, BCIS. I paid my dues. I paid my attorney's fees. I did everything. And, you know, I did the test. You know, I speak the language and everything like that. I worried. Well, I didn't worry. I made sure that I spoke the language well. Well enough for me to pass the test and be part of the society, of the American society. And this is what I love, you know. And thinking back, you know, growing up, there was so much corruption, you know, and there still is, you know, like there was a governor in the state that I grew up in that he took a lot of money from taxpayers and made a lot of purchases in Texas, you know, lots of real estate in mm-hmm. Texas. And, there's a lot of that down there. And in Latin America, I don't know if you are very much aware. So right now that there is a new president in Colombia that is full communist, and he was just elected. And I cannot believe, you know, how Latin America is full of leftists, and you know, because it's a they seduce people, and a really good thing that Latinos have is that their hearts are very soft, and the left really takes advantage of that, and they make them believe that, you know, just vote for me and depend on me, and I will, you know, I'm Santa Claus. I'll give you everything for free. And a lot of people don't know in the atrocities, and it's, you know, so many years and people do not learn. But anyway, you know, it's one of the main reasons why I am here, and I will keep fighting with you shoulder to shoulder. And please count me in as one more soldier, because I am going to protect the United States of America. So help me God. Let's go back to topic. One of those things that you guys are fighting for here is on the voting. This definitely is a very hot topic. Number one thing that I want to bring up is that having an ID to vote is not racist.
It's not. It's called logic.
Exactly. So I was telling somebody a few months ago that in Mexico, they even have commercials on national TV about get your ID. Once you're 18 years old, you have to go get your ID in order for you to vote. And you see people lining up outside of, you know, designated areas so they can vote. Because for Mexicans, even though elections, you know, how crappy they are, think about a government ruled by Democrats, you know, and, you know, horrible politics, but everybody wants to vote. And even if you're a Mexican abroad, you can go into your local consulate and vote and go and vote there. So they do understand that democracy is very important. So why does the left want us to believe that voting is racist? That just doesn't make sense when other countries really embrace that democracy. So,
well, in my opinion, the left is so good at weaponizing everything against truth and good and integrity. And so they, you know, we got to hand it to them. They've actually played this very, very wisely. Let's use racism. Let's use voter suppression. Let's appeal to people's soft hearts and say, if we demand our laws to be followed, we're being racist and we're being unkind. Even right here in our state of Utah, it was very interesting. Last mm-hmm. legislative session, Representative Phil Lyman brought an election integrity bill before the committee to see if it would make it past the committee and eventually go to the floor of the Senate and the House. Well, it was very, very interesting how all of a sudden the Navajo Nation was ushered into this committee meeting. And it was very, very clear that our very own Lieutenant Governor, Deidre Henderson, had played a very pivotal role in inviting the Navajo Nation leaders and individuals to come speak in opposition to Representative Phil Lyman's election integrity bill.
And she's had a lot of visits down there, right? Quiet visits going down to those nations. And I think that matters because they're sovereign, right? The rules are different for how they can
vote and conduct their elections.
Yeah. And even report their elections. That's a very strategic move they're doing, which is alarming to us who actually want free and fair elections.
It's very alarming. And you know, all you need to do is go look on our Lieutenant Governor's Twitter page, and you can, it's chronicled there how much she's meeting with the Navajo Nation. I mean, I love everyone, right? Like, I have no problem that there is this outreach to the Navajo Nation, but it feels particularly interesting. You know, we've got these elections coming up in 2022, and Representative Phil Lyman he's a patriot. He is fighting for people. He's a hero. He's basically the only one in that entire legislature that is fighting for the people. And this coming election, he's going up against an individual from the Navajo Nation. And so we know that Phil Lyman is such a threat to the establishment and to the rhino infestation of our state that it makes total sense that our lieutenant governor, who is going to run the elections, the upcoming elections, is making a lot of friends with the Navajo Nation. And so we find that interesting.
Well, and we've got friends in Montana that work on election integrity as well. And what they've uncovered on their reservations is also alarming. Now, we aren't saying that the reservations are doing anything wrong. We're saying that the laws that allow them no oversight or accountability for whatever numbers they report, that can have the potential to do a lot of damage, especially in areas where Phil Lyman is running. I mean, whatever number they give, and we can't investigate it. Like, what do you do in a race like that? I mean, it's bizarre to me that there's no oversight when it comes to an election for them.
Yes.
Oh, wow. This is very shocking to me to know. Why is she going to the Navajo Nations? Or maybe I need to understand more about the Navajo Nations, but If they are nations within our country, then they have, and you said that, you know, they have rules and whatnot, but why does that have to do with our laws? Because, I mean, we are the mainland, obviously. Yes, they were before us, and, you know, a bunch of leftists are going to say, well, they were here first, and, you know, but who cares? I mean, now this land belongs to the Union. You know, and as much as I like the Confederacy, and I'm going to say this very openly, you know, I like the Confederacy and things that good things that they did, you know, I'm not going to go full ballistic there. The Union now rules this country. This is the Union. And why does she have to go and request for them, I don't know, maybe because she's a leftist and she wants to be inclusive. I mean, I get it, you know, that's totally fine, you know, but she's probably encouraging them to run for office, but don't they belong to another country, you know?
Yeah, they belong to their own nation. That's why it's so interesting. And even the funniest part about this, I mean, if there's anything funny about it, but Phil Lyman's entire career has been fighting for all the issues and rights that would help the people of the Navajo Nation, water, lands. So none of this
makes
sense.
He's a friend to that nation.
He's a friend to that nation. And so for her to weaponize this issue with elections against Phil Lyman, when this whole time he's been fighting for the people of the Navajo Nation, is just, it's the methods of the left, right? It's what we
and you know, I've not heard this firsthand. I will say this is secondhand information, but I have actually been told that some of these people on the Navajo land and the reservations are actually not being told the truth on what's going on with these elections. So there's nothing nefarious, I don't believe, going on from the Navajos. I, if anything, I have sympathy for them for being used as a pawn in someone else's narrative. If they step back and realize that what Phil Lyman was doing, like Sophie said, for their water rights, for their constitutional, you know, rights, for land, and he's protected their land more than anyone else I know. I mean, the guy served 10 days in prison as a county commissioner for defending the land, and $100,000 fine almost he paid out of his own pocket that he had to pay off for his peaceful protest. And thank goodness Trump pardoned him with that, which is remarkable in and of itself. But I feel like what they're doing is probably going down there, figuring out how to either feed them lies so that they vote incorrectly, or even maybe something more nefarious where they're actually saying, gosh, if they're going to like destroy our voter rolls and inflate those into the ballot harvesting here right in front of our faces, why wouldn't they do that in a reservation that we can't monitor and audit? I mean, wow, you know?
Exactly. And to Ken's point, I'll just bring up another thing about our lieutenant governor. At this last legislative session, she fought the people that came and showed up to this committee meeting that wanted video surveillance on our ballot boxes. Now, who in their right mind that cares about truth, elections, the vote, would fight video surveillance on the ballot boxes? It just doesn't make any sense.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, especially at a time when there's so many questions about the election themselves. I mean, it just makes no sense unless you're trying to hide something. Make it impossible. And that's been our experience with Governor Cox and Lieutenant Governor Henderson and the Director of Elections. Their offices and a couple of these county clerks as well, not all of them, but a few, are really trying hard to make sure that we cannot get this information that should be given to us. I mean, Ricky Hatch, let's go into Ricky Hatch and what he's done for the last year with your request.
Yes. So Ricky Hatch is the Weber County clerk. And
he's tight with Henderson.
He's tight with Henderson. And he does sit on the, I don't know if you're familiar with the 2000 Mules movie. Okay, so there are some NGOs, third party organizations that are mentioned in that movie. And it is fascinating to Jen and I and to many others that our very own Ricky Hatch of Weber County sits on the board of CTCL.
Where that money's funneling in. I mean, he's an advisor to them.
Yes, where all the Zuckerbucks came through.
And essentially what that does, I mean, so people who may not totally understand what we're talking about here, that allows third parties and private individuals control over our elections. I mean,
wow,
right? Like, let that sink in for a second. And some of the documents that Sophie has gotten talks about with this money that's coming in. Number one, they're like throwing it at these counties. They're begging them. Like, I mean, they're, you know, millions of dollars, $10 million to some of these counties. It basically just tell us what you need and we're going to give it to you. It was to the tune of $420 million that was given just through those arms of CTCL and CEIR, right?
Yes.
And so these counties get this information, this money. They were asked, do you want to send it to the state? Do you want the check sent to the county? Or do you want the check, this is the funny part, sent to nonprofit organizations?
Yeah. And then with that money, we have the lined item invoices of what they bought for the elections. Now, if they were framing this money to help with COVID and keep us all safe from the scam, right? You would think, well, you'd be purchasing the hand sanitizer, the mask, all the ridiculous things they came up with to put, you know.
Which you don't even need because they're mailing the ballots anyway.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. Anyway, you know, you would think those things would show up, but no, those weren't the things that showed up for these millions of dollars of grant awards. What was showing up were, they were buying tabulators. They were buying a full-on election machines. They were buying signature verification machines.
Which have the option to not even verify the signatures.
Yes.
You can set it on an automatic setting to just say, yep, yep, accept everything. Yes. So why is this outside very, very leftist outspoken organization funneling money into every state and into several counties in Utah? Let's tell them who did this in Utah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and what's interesting is
Cache County and Utah County.
Cache County and Utah County
took the money.
Took the money. And, you know, when you look at those line item invoices and you're like, they bought ballot boxes, they bought
ballots.
They bought ballots.
So an outside organization is buying ballots for
so
the county.
Filled out ballots or just,
that's a great question.
If they would let us have the data, we could tell you.
Yes. If they would stop, if the lieutenant governor would stop thwarting our every move to get this data, we could give you a definitive answer.
But we go back to the nonprofits with the 2000 mules, right? The nonprofits are the organizations that are ballot harvesting. So here we have nonprofits being able to get paid. We've got counties in Utah, several counties who are taking the money. We still can't definitively figure out why Ricky Hatch didn't take the own money for his own county. I do believe it might have filtered in between their neighboring county, Cache County. There is a lot of that sharing of funds and stuff in other states that we've seen, but we've got everything set up there. And then you have Deidre Henderson, right? Lieutenant Governor, saying we don't want any no more video surveillance on the drop boxes. Now we don't need that. Well, it's you do the math and you're like, oh my goodness, like it doesn't add up to any other.
It's Common Core math.
Wow. It is shameful. It is definitely shameful that a lieutenant governor tells you that she doesn't want any surveillance cameras on ballot boxes. Very shameful. And very infuriating.
It is. We did win that battle, but we made so many concessions to other parts of our elections just to win that one battle of getting video surveillance on our ballot boxes.
But here's the problem. I mean, that is just one of the many, 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 many ways that you can cheat in an election. So yeah, okay, we're going to put ballot boxes, you know, videos on that, whatever. But then they can destroy it after 30 days. And it'll kind of almost take you that long to get a response to even get you the data, if they even get it for you during that time. And all they got to do is claim extraordinary circumstances, and then you'll never, ever see it. It's a debacle, but there's so many other ways to cheat. And in fact, Salt Lake County, one of the national analysts went in unbiased, just went in looking for some information and came back and said, Salt Lake County has cheated in every possible way that she could find. She said, I've not really seen this at that point in time anywhere in the nation, but she's like, I'm seeing it in every single way. So ballot boxes, yeah, that's a piece of the puzzle, but it's one of many pieces. And that's why I think they allowed the concession.
Yeah,
was because they knew they've got plan A, B, C, D, E, F, and through Z.
They do. Well, and to your point, I mean, one of the plans they have is they, by law, if a legislator or an elected official requests the voter rolls from the lieutenant governor's office, by law, she is to hand those over. Well, our very own Representative Phil Lyman requested those voter rolls from Deidre Henderson
twice,
and she refused to give them to him. So when she talks about we need to follow the law, we cannot give these data election returns to Jen and Sophie because I must follow the law, I'm like, you don't care about the law because over here, you're okay not following the law and giving over the voter rolls. Oh.
There was even a lawsuit that we were able to find, right? With Governor Cox, Lieutenant Governor at the time.
Lieutenant Governor Cox.
Yes, with Elena Erickson. Yeah.
No, this is totally different.
Is it a different thing? Oh, okay.
Yes, when he was lieutenant governor, he, in his very own words and justifying why he had to give over the voter rolls to these people. So we just find it so ironic.
Hypocritical.
That, yes.
Very hypocritical. So In a lawsuit, he says, I have to give these voter rolls out. Sorry, you know, I'm gonna have to do this. And then Bill Lyman asks for them twice. And Deidre Henderson says, sorry, I can't give them to you. And then she says, and when he asks why, I'm not comfortable with that. Well, when does comfort become a condition of the law?
Yeah,
right?
We're not very comfortable with our elections.
We're not
stolen.
Comfortable with you, doing what you're doing. So,
yep, I mean, it's all about the feelings.
Self-appointed, unelected, uncertified, untrained individuals. That's who me and Sophie are to her. She put that in a public statement. I mean, a statement memo. But I mean, our response to that has always been, well, we've got questions, serious questions, and a lot of data about this election already. And we think you're self-appointed and unelected.
Wow. Sorry to cut you off here. We have to go to a commercial break here. But when we're back, I really would love to talk more about how Cox, Governor Cox, was elected. I really want my audience to hear this, because this is very important. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go ahead and go to a commercial break. And remember, this is The Nacho Show. We'll be right back.
Nacho Graphics is a professional graphic design company that offers unlimited graphic design services to small, medium, and large businesses. We pride ourselves on providing high-quality, affordable design services that are customized to meet the specific needs of our clients. Our team of talented designers is passionate about creating unique, eye-catching designs that will help your business stand out from the competition. Whether you need a new logo or marketing materials, we will work with you to create a custom solution that fits your needs and exceeds your expectations. At Nacho Graphics, we understand that each company has different graphic design needs. That's why we offer an unlimited graphic design service that can be customized to fit the specific needs of your business. We believe that great design should be accessible to all businesses, regardless of size. So, if you're looking for a graphic design company that can provide you with high-quality custom designs at an affordable price, look no further than Nacho Graphics. Contact us today to learn more about our unlimited graphic design services and how we can help your business grow. Check out our website, www.nachographics.com, or call 801-869-0523.
As a small business owner, you know that having a website is crucial to your success. But what you may not know is that designing and developing a website can be expensive. That's where Solidify Web comes in. Solidify Web offers affordable website design and development that will produce a website that is clean and tailored to fit your business needs. Plus, we offer search engine optimization services to help you obtain top rankings for your desired search terms, driving qualified leads to your site. Creating a website for your business is one of the most important things you can do in today's economy. Your website is your storefront and first impression for many potential customers. It is crucial that you have a clean, fresh, and well-designed website that represents your business the best way possible. We can create a stunning website for you that is both easy to use and navigate and ranks high in search engines. Contact us today to learn more about how we can help you take your business to the next level. As a physician, Dr. Robinson personally treated thousands of patients for their accident-related injuries, and as such, has an in-depth understanding of your physical complaints and injuries. It was at this time that Dr. Robinson discovered the difficulties of dealing with auto insurance companies. We know how difficult it can be for someone to handle their own case. Our personal injury law firm is dedicated to helping others navigate the difficulties involved in auto accident injuries, slip and fall injuries, brain injuries, trucking accidents, dog bite injuries, pedestrians and wrongful death cases. Why handle it alone? you can now have a law firm with not only legal experience, but also medical experience. Our attorneys and staff are focused on achieving the best possible outcome for you. Get what you deserve. At the Robinson Injury Law, you will be able to speak directly with your attorney. You may be just a number with other law firms and auto insurance companies, but at Robinson Injury Law, your case is our priority. Robinson Injury Law. Helping accident injury victims is all we do. Call today for a free consultation to see if you have a case. Utah 801-845-HURT 4878.
The Elliott Group Way is a philosophy to elevate the merchant services industry and increase the trust factor between merchants and processors by offering consultative, local, and proactive customer care to help you grow your business and to reach your goals. We do things differently around here. Not only do we provide top-level products and services that work, we are your partner and ensure you affordable merchant services with our best rate guarantee. On top of that, we offer next day funding so you can have peace of mind knowing your money will be in the bank quickly. When you choose EMG, you're choosing a partner that cares about your success. Let us show you the EMG way today. We also offer next day funding so you can get your money as soon as possible. In addition, we offer a cash discount program so you can save money on your merchant services. So, if you're looking for an effective merchant services company that can provide you with low fees, contact us today to learn more about our merchant services at 801-362-2968.
All right, and welcome back to the Netcha Show. Thank you to all of our sponsors that make this show possible. And we do have today with us the two red pills and one little guest as well.
Okay, sorry. My dog has the biggest crush on Sophie, like, ever. He would just, like, lick her all along if he could.
Oh, my goodness.
He likes Cuban women.
Are you Cuban?
I am. My mom is. Yes.
Oh, fantastic. Nice. So do you speak the language too?
I do. And I just have to tell you, hearing you express yourself about our country and how much you love it, That was my whole childhood growing up with my mom. I mean, every day was a cheerleading event for America from my mom.
Oh yeah. And that's exactly the way I am, because, you know, obviously, you know, Mexico, I guess, is not as bad as Cuba is. Hearing, you know, being, you know, so patriotic, you know, from a Cuban. Yeah, definitely. I could understand, you know. But anyway, so welcome back. We want to talk about how Governor Cox did it. And right now, if elections would have been honest and straightforward, Greg Hughes should have been our governor. I don't know. What about you? What do you guys think?
We fully believe that in the primaries, Greg Hughes was ousted, you know, with
we do not believe those primaries were conducted cleanly and fairly.
No, we do not. And that's part of the information that we have been requesting that has gotten us in so much trouble, is information not just from the November election, but the primary and other elections as well. So this primary that's coming up actually scares us a little bit, because a lot of these people are kind of technically running their own elections, like it's these county clerks. I don't understand how that can happen. I don't understand how an incumbent, you know, can do that. Like, why can't we bring in an outside agency or have a, you know what I mean? I don't understand how Ricky Hatch can be in charge of elections when he's the one running. Somebody needs to explain that to me, because so far I'm still scratching my head on that one.
Yeah. And just so you know, in 2013, Cox was lieutenant governor.
Correct. Okay.
In 2013, there was a bill brought before the legislature, SB 0025, and in this bill, it explicitly states that in a case of an emergency, the all of the processes and procedures of the elections are turned over to the lieutenant governor. Now, mind you, this is in 2013. So they passed the bill. It's law now. Well, let's fast forward to 2020. We have the scamdemic. We have all our elected officials very adamant to keep us or put us in a state of emergency right before the elections. So guess who gets to run their very own election?
In a sense, tyrannical power. Because again, this emergency order granted the lieutenant governor power to do whatever is required. That bill even talked about mass hospitalizations. It was that precise on a state of emergency. So yeah, he runs his own election and then turns around and threatens legislators to not bring it up again, and
yes,
citizens to shut their mouths, basically.
Yes, and it was very interesting that Cox has been such a proponent of SB 54. I don't know if you're familiar with SB 54.
Yes, SB 54. Oh. Yeah, the count my vote.
Yes. And, you know, when you have people being able to not only win elections, but move on when the people have spoken, when the delegates have spoken and said, this is not who we choose, but because they, through signature gathering, they're able to move on. It's everything that our country does not stand for.
Well, and it scares me because, you know, that delegate process, it's a lot harder to cheat. Not that you can't, but it's a lot harder to cheat when you've got delegates sitting there, you know. And one of the things that Sophie and I were there at both of the county and state conventions this year, I mean, they hand you something. I mean, it's a very pretty precise process, right? I mean, it's like a caveman style, you know, you can put your red rock or your blue rock, you know, at the end of the day, you can count that and see what's going on. So to be able to skirt the delegate process puts them into an election process with machines and other stuff that have been shown to be highly, highly vulnerable and have proven themselves to not be trustworthy. So that signature gathering alone is a nightmare because it ensures that their candidates, no matter what the people say, they will be able to get into the process that we have no visibility into to verify that what the actual people voted for is what we're getting.
Exactly. And in our state, you know, it's a very well-known fact that the Republican nominee is going to win the position of governor. And so in our minds, Cox, he's reading the tea leaves and he's like, as long as I can be, he was probably reading a lot of other stuff that is much more funny. But anyway, he tells himself, well, I just need to make sure I win the primary because whoever is the Republican nominee will win the governorship. And so that is, and as we've.
And it gives him access again to all of these processes of ballots and ballot harvesting and inflated voter rolls and vulnerable machines.
Yes.
All he had to do was get through that phase, right?
Exactly. And you'll find it you might already know this, but you know, the fact that Utah is the only red state in the entire country that went to universal vote by mail because of the scamdemic. Well, that's what they justified it with, is so alarming. You know, we have people here in the state of Utah that are logical, reasonable, thoughtful people. And there is no way in my mind that they could not evaluate that was some type of, I don't know what else to call it, but a trick to manipulate our elections.
Well, and interesting, we also said it not just being the only red Republican state who's all male voting, we also have gotten to distinguish ourselves here in Utah as a red Republican state, the only one at a gubernatorial election at the same time as the presidential in November 2020, where a red state had a governor who got more votes than Trump. And we're not just talking a handful of votes of people who, you know, voted for Cox more than Trump. We are talking 53,614 people voted for Cox, but said, no, thank you. We don't want Trump.
That's what they're claiming.
Wow. I can't believe that.
53,000 people. So I'm like, Cox, I mean, you know, 500 maybe you could get away with, but the only one in the whole nation to do this. So even those kind of stats, I'm like, man, that thing got padded really well. We can't even find a lot of people who voted for Cox. We've been searching for the past year and we're up to 12 now.
12 and a half.
12 and a half. 12 and a half. And 11 of them have repented.
Well, at least though. So I'm super happy that now, well, yeah, I mean, we are now, I mean, we're still a red state and I really want to keep it that way. So I encourage all of those conservatives to run for office. Please go do it because we really need to save our state from being purple. Really, I mean, at the rate that is going on right now, definitely, it's headed that way. And I don't want to say that like that, but gosh, it is what it is. And I'm you know, super happy to work with you guys in whatever it is that needs to be done, you know, to help out and to keep our state red. Now, so Cox, definitely. Well, yeah, there was a lawsuit against him now being a governor, and Elena Erickson has been working on that. And I guess I need an update on it. I will have to talk to her about it. But so what you're saying is that Cox took advantage of him being in charge of the elections and having access to the voting, and then that's how he got elected. And it sounds, you know, very very accurate. And the reason why I say that is because he didn't do very much campaigning, though. The only thing that I saw was so he just did some sort of food truck, and he painted it green. That was his color of the campaign. And it was like a taco truck kind of thing. And yeah, he won the election, you know, but
by a landslide, apparently. He even beat Trump. Let's not forget that.
Oh, wow. Another thing that makes me very nervous, you know, seeing the fact that this happened, is that Mrs. Didrickson, you know, his lieutenant governor, would do the same thing. That's what makes me very nervous.
Well, Jen and I have, and maybe others have noticed this, but we've done a deep dive into why Utah is where we are, why we're here. Why do we, out of, you know, all of the states, there's only 5 states that do not have a secretary of state. We have
3, actually.
Sorry.
We are the only mainland state that has one.
Yes.
Alaska and Hawaii both do, but Hawaii, they call it a lieutenant governor, but it maintains exactly the secretary of state functions. It's us in Alaska.
Yeah. And why would they create this conflict of interest to have the governor and the lieutenant governor run on the same ticket? That is not a good thing.
Well, and it's bizarre because this started in 1976. And Sophie and I were digging into this, and we realized that in 1976, our governor was the head of the nation's governor's association. That same year, our lieutenant governor, which was the secretary of state back then, was head of the National Secretaries of State organization. So
interesting.
The head of the National Secretaries of State turns around while they're in and says, let's just change this into a lieutenant governor. It's my belief, and again, you know, there's probably much more to be uncovered there, but I believe that with those 2 Utah people in those crucial power positions, I think they led that charge nationally to try to talk people into doing the lieutenant governor type position. Because again, you lose the checks and balances system when the lieutenant governor works for the governor directly instead of, you know, at an outside kind of position, and you're stuck with 2 of them on the same ticket. So I have no I have a tendency to believe that that was completely the brainchild of Utah back in 1976. And it's something we've got to get reversed.
Exactly. And we have to remember there is this consistent pattern in Utah of our governors and our lieutenant, our lieutenant governors not being elected, they're appointed by the previous governor. And so we're not even having elections to determine who runs our elections. And you know, the whole thing is a scam. The whole thing is a scam, and it's been set up for many, many years. They were able to capitalize on it in 2020. I think Trump was such a threat to their RINO establishment that they were not going to let that happen no matter what. Just a little fun fact. When Cox was choosing a running mate at that time for when he was running for governor and he was choosing a lieutenant governor running mate, Deidre Henderson at that time was in the legislature. Okay. Well, Cox chooses Deidre to be his running mate. And guess who takes Deidre's place?
Yeah. Conveniently leaves a spot open in the legislature that needs to be filled. And drum roll,
none other than Cox's brother-in-law.
Wow.
Yeah. So it
selected, not elected. And again, that was the same story with Cox. That was the same story. Cox was never elected as the lieutenant governor. Neither was Greg Bell before him. There's this pattern, and I don't know how to fix it other than to say, if you're going to run for office, you freaking need to stay in there for the full 4 years or 6 years or 2 years, whatever it is. You need to have a contract that says, I'm going to stay in, because this is exactly what they're doing on how to get our, you know, the people that they want in. And then once they're in, here's the problem. We can't recall them. We can't recall them.
No way.
We can't sue them. We can't go after their bonds. All these things that people are looking into doing, that the Governmental Immunity Act, Section 63, in our law that's been codified, does not give us anything to do. It insulates them completely. And I've read that law. Oh my gosh, it's a big law, and it covers everything from their volunteers to their staff to their, everything is immune. Wow. From prosecution. So once they're in, how do you ever get them back out when they run the elections, especially?
Exactly. The people have no recourse. And it's all intentional. They've all set it up. And just so you know, a couple of years ago, there was a legislator that drafted and sponsored a bill to be able to recall these positions. I think it was more point at that time, it was more for to get rid of the state. Rid our state of the scamdemic of Mitt Romney at that time. And it was so disappointing that I think, as I remember, only about five legislators voted in favor of that. And so it's a good old boys club. They all help each other for favors, for votes, for bills. And it's so frustrating.
Well, and it's interesting, when Spencer Cox got put in as, again, installed and appointed by the governor in 2013 to be the lieutenant governor, it shocked the people in the legislature. He was not considered a mature member of the legislature. He's not like he was a super standout. I have been told, again, been told by somebody who works with the legislators, that people were very upset and that he was appointed due to a closed door meeting with his father and the governor. I don't know. That's what I've been told. But it's interesting, because Herbert said, you know, that when people get to know Spencer Cox, they're going to say, this is his quote, "Wow, I understand why the governor picked him to be the lieutenant governor."
We're still waiting.
We're like, well, you know, I think I do know why. You picked him because his dad went in and complained. And then you picked him because he was nefarious enough to continue the pattern to get these people in. You know, with elections, you put him over elections and gave him tyrannical power the very first year in 2013 that he was installed.
Exactly. And so Herbert appointed Spencer Cox. Well, Herbert had the same gift given to him. John Huntsman was our governor. Well, crazy enough, he gets called to be the
ambassador to China.
While he's governor, and guess who gets to be our governor?
Another selected, not elected person.
Another selected.
An Lieutenant Governor Greg Bell did the same thing. I mean, we have not elected directly these people from the start. And this has gone on long before that with these other positions, right?
Yes.
I think Aline Balker and everything that we've gone back is this a pattern of at least 20 years of these selected appointments and convenient resignations. I think there needs to be a serious penalty for these public servants who are elected, who fail to fulfill the contract of their obligations.
Of their job. Oath.
Huntsman basically told the people of Utah, the people of China are more important to me than the people of Utah.
Which says a lot, especially with elections.
I talk
to a person who's a prosecutor, for around the state. And they said that the governmental immunity actually lets these public officials be immune from even their oath of office.
Wow.
So what recourse do we have, especially when we don't have access to sheriffs in Salt Lake County who can do anything except for hand out masks and sit at a jail?
Wow. Yeah, it is super scary, though. I cannot believe that these people have more love for mullah than for what they really need to be loving, you know, which is the people of Utah and their constituents. And that's what makes me super upset. Now, you mentioned earlier about having the lieutenant governor and the governor in the same ticket. Now, do you think that that could be overturned somehow? Does the DOJ have to be involved in this type of situation?
You know, the current environment of our state, nothing is for sure. Like, we can't rely on our own laws. We can't rely on the people that have been selected, you know. But we have to say that Jen and I, one of our goals is to bring back the Secretary of State position of our state, because that will provide such a balance of power. There will not be conflicts of interest. So that is one of our goals. We need that. As long as we have the lieutenant governor and the governor working together to get each other elected or appointed or win elections, our state cannot be running at its fullest capacity.
Yeah, you'll never recover from that.
I agree. Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Super interesting. Yeah, we really need. Yeah, I've never thought about that. A Secretary of State.
So we need people, as one of the calls to action is, we need people actually in Utah starting to talk about this and start doing a call to action. We've put one out. We're going to continue to put one out on, you know, getting awareness to this and letting your legislators know. I'm really hoping that these primary elections that we're in the middle of right now go fairly. My gut tells me that we need to pray really hard right now, because we got some really amazing, incredible people running. It's exactly what we need to take back this state and clean it up. And the cards are stacked against them, not on the number of votes, but who counts the votes. And that's really who ultimately holds the power. And it's too much power for any person or process to even hold that's not able to be audited.
Correct. Correct. Well, thank you so much for being here in this wonderful show, guys, the Two Red Pills, Jen and Sophie. So where can people find you online? Can you tell us?
Our favorite place to post information is on Telegram. It's the Two Red Pills channel on Telegram. And that's where we put up a lot of the public documents we get, events that are going on, where we've endorsed certain candidates. Lots of good information right there. You can also find us at tworedpills.org, the website. There's information up there, all of our videos. Rumble, we have it as well. But we encourage people, the best thing they can do is share this information with others. And we're hearing a lot of people starting to wake up now. So we appreciate you and everyone else out there who's sharing this information.
For sure.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for accepting my invitation to the Nacho Show. And I look forward to keep teaming up with you and do things together. So thank you. Yeah, kudos to you.
Thank you.
All right, well, guys, thank you so much for being here today. Oh, sorry, wrong button. And we will see you next time at the Nacho Show.